the strangest thing happened to me the other day, and I'm not exaggerating. On this city street in a Phoenix suburb, I hailed a car with my phone, and a few minutes later, an empty Chrysler minivan showed up.
So here it is.
Here it is. Yes.
And by empty, I mean empty. No one was driving it.
So what do I do? Just get in?
Yeah, just get in.
The woman you hear there is Liz Renninger, a rep from Waymo, the company that's developed this driverless car. Waymo has been testing the technology around Phoenix for a few years, and in October opened its Waymo One service to the public. So here I am, about to put my life in the hands of a robot.
So I'm opening the door here.
Yep.
Normally, I would say hello to the driver, but...
But there is no driver. That's the beauty of it.
Please make sure your seatbelt is fastened.
Yes, ma'am.
Press the help button to speak with a rider support agent.
Okay, wow. Oh, my God, we're driving. Look at the front seat. Look at the front seat. There's nobody in this car but me. I'm the only person in this car. I'm sitting in the back seat, and the car is driving. That is really weird. Holy cow. All right, we're going to the golf course, the Dobson Ranch Golf Course.
In truth, I don't golf. I just needed a place to go within Waymo's 50-square-mile service area that spans the suburbs of East Phoenix. And boy, did we go. As the car turned from a residential neighborhood onto a busy 7-lane road, my heart rate started to pick up.
We're going 37 miles per hour. I feel a little out of breath, mostly because I'm kind of thrilled. I feel safe. Here we go. We're taking a right now at a big intersection. Green light. Here we go. Normally, I'm used to, you know, doing an interview with another person, but there's nobody else to talk to right here. It's just me. So I guess I'll just interview myself here. What does it feel like? What's it like? Well, feels totally normal, except for that it isn't. It's completely bizarre. It's smooth. It's not jerky. I feel safe until something weird happens, I guess.
Remarkably mundane is a good way to describe it. And what you just described is pretty common.
Sashwat Panagrahi is the Waymo executive managing this project.
You see in riders the first few moments of excitement, but the car's driving profile is such that it builds trust pretty quickly. For example, it slows down just the right amount before a bump in the road coming up and so on. Would you say that's how it felt for you as well, the first few moments, and then you sort of intricately build some trust in the car?
That's right, and that's going to be one of your biggest challenges, right? Because I know on my Twitter feed when I posted a video of the first few moments in the car, so many people responded by saying, "No way, I am never going to do that." So you have to build trust, and you have to do it quickly. I'm sure you are considering that.
Absolutely, and I think we realized very early on that partial autonomy was not going to be Waymo's focus. It was going to be full autonomy, because we realized that we have to take the responsibility of that trust very seriously. And in fact, when our riders fall asleep in an autonomous ride, which has happened, we take that as a token of, it's a credit. It's a testament to how smooth the drive is and so on. So I think that focus has been there for a decade, and we feel that is the safe path.
Safe because computers aren't humans. They don't get drunk. They don't get tired. Computers don't get distracted. I'm sorry. What was I saying? Anyway, in October, the company released data from 6 million miles of automated driving on Arizona roads with a backup human driver behind the wheel, and data from another 65,000 miles driven with no human in the car. In that time, Waymo vehicles were involved in 18 collisions, and Waymo predicts another 29 would have happened had the human driver not intervened. In one case, it was a pedestrian that walked into a parked Waymo minivan. But three real cases were serious enough for an airbag to deploy. As this clip from ABC News in 2018 reminds us, no system is flawless.
What happened just moments before that deadly Uber crash involving a self-driving car?
This dashcam video shows the horrifying seconds before a self-driving Uber hit and killed a pedestrian in Arizona. Tempe police released two videos Wednesday. One filming outside the car shows 49-year-old Elaine Herzberg crossing the road with her bicycle. It pauses just before the moment of impact.
That Uber crash happened 4 miles from where I picked up my ride, and it was tough not to think about it. Waymo's Sashwat Panagrahi says the company's tests still show a computer is safer than a human driver.
Unlike humans, the Waymo driver is constantly seeing 360 degrees in every direction, day or night, and as far as 3 football fields away, which enables us to detect things usually much further. So even if something is just popping out, let's say, a few minutes ago, they may have been walking on the sidewalk, or there are prior cues that are available in the environment that something that's continuously monitoring and seeing 3 football fields away just has greater amount of opportunity. Let's say you are searching for parking or trying to locate the house that you're trying to visit. Your attention or your head is turned towards those house numbers or to the place that you're searching for parking. At that moment, if the object that you're mentioning were to come from the left, you know, as a human, your focus is elsewhere. The Waymo driver doesn't have any of those. Like, it's continuously perceiving things all around. It doesn't have focus, tunnel vision. It is continuously assessing the environment. So that gives an advantage.
So what do people outside of Waymo think? I asked Missy Cummings, an expert on autonomous driving at Duke University, if she'd get into a car without a driver. The answer is she has been.
I think the better question to ask of me and to ask of any executive in these companies are, would you put your child in there? Heck no, that's not happening.
Cummings says it's just not safe enough yet. For example, how many times has the computer been tested to recognize a quarter inch of snow on top of a stop sign? And what about a half inch?
Just that much difference in snow can dramatically change the way that the computer vision system sees the world.
I got into one of these vehicles, and it turned right into traffic, busy oncoming traffic, and it felt safe. We didn't crash. Nothing happened. Was that a mistake that I made? Did I put myself in jeopardy?
So I think these cars can do a pretty good job with normal circumstances that it sees over and over and over again. So that is actually why the cars are geofenced in a relatively small area in Arizona is, number one, you don't have to worry about snow on stop signs. Number two, if you drive the same world over and over and over again, then you start to have that regularity and it is easier for the cars to effect safe movement. What would be a problem is if all of a sudden a dust storm came through Phoenix, which Phoenix is, they're no strangers to that.
It will happen, yeah.
That's right. And so you'll get a massive dust storm and then all the sensors are coated in some fine sand, and that's enough to degrade but not destroy the sensors, and then the sensors and software can start to make mistakes because it doesn't recognize that it's not in a world that it cannot understand. And I know that sound like some weird double negative, but the bottom line is I don't worry about when the sensors fail. I worry about when the cars don't realize they're in over their heads.
Waymo says it's already mapped its entire service area, so the car knows where every stop sign is, whether it's snowing, raining, or blowing dust. And a self-cleaning function can wipe dirt away from the sensors. Still, the car can get in over its head.
I have felt a little bit embarrassed, like if we get stuck somewhere and people are honking.
Joel Johnson is a college student who's taken more than 80 rides with Waymo. He volunteered for the testing program when the company was still using safety drivers as a backup.
What do you mean stuck?
So like at one point I picked a spot to get picked up in front of a restaurant. It was going to try and go through the drive-thru and there were cones blocking the area. And like basically I just got in the car, I started the ride, and then it just stopped and sat there for a while. And the safety driver had to take over in that situation. But I've been trying to get it stuck. In 2020, I've been trying to get it stuck, and I just can't because it'll always three-point turn its way out of something.
I still haven't found that sweet spot yet. You're trying to put it in a tough spot to see if it can successfully navigate the situation you put it in.
Yeah, I want to push the limits of the technology right now, but also be safe about it.
One day, you may have to make your own decision about being inside a car like this. Would you trust it with your life or your family's? When I rode down the arrow straight roads of Metro Phoenix, I had to ignore my fears. The ride was thrilling, and not just for me.
There's a bus here to my right. Hi, Mr. Bus Driver. There's nobody driving. I got a thumbs up from the bus driver when he realized there was nobody driving my car.
13 minutes or so after this wild ride started, the journey came to an end. The car pulled into the driveway of the Dobson Ranch Golf Course.
We did it!
Please check your surroundings before exiting the vehicle, and remember to close the doors after you exit.
The Waymo app charged me $6.92, and I got out in one piece. We'll have videos of my ride, pictures, and links to Waymo's safety data at hereandnow.org.